Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. Are you looking to win more fantasy titles this year? Well, if you are, you're in the right place. It's Dynasty Day. I'm going to talk you through five risers, five fallers, what's happening with their trade value, whether you should be buying, selling, holding, most importantly, what that cost is going to look like. Let's dive straight in. First up, after a record-breaking performance, a record-breaking week, you know that one of the biggest risers is going to be CJ Stroud. Absolutely balling. What can I say? Blew my mind out of the water. Was absolutely incredible on Sunday. He's up to the QB4 overall. Slightly kind of fraudulent in terms of he's averaging less than 20 points a game at 19.6. But the most exciting thing is, this is a guy who's doing it from the pocket. He's not having to rush to put up that production, which means it's more sustainable moving forward. And he's doing it with a core of young wide receivers that we know are going to be with him for years to come. I mean, Tank Dell's looking absolutely phenomenal. He's averaging almost 0.2 EPA per play, which is like elite numbers. You're talking MVPs normally about 0.25. And that touchdown to interception ratio is absolutely mind-blowing. He is shooting up ranks. He is shooting up value charts. For me, he's now a top eight quarterback. He's in the same tier as Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, just behind that elite five of Allen, Mahomes, Hurt, Jackson, Burrow. But if he keeps this up, he's going to easily creep into that top five. And, you know, this is a guy that we keep talking about as a top half of the first round startup pick. Easily worth three first-round picks. I think if you're buying now, you're probably buying high, but maybe you can pivot off, you know, someone that's declining in value, whether that be Deshaun Watson or, you know, maybe Justin Fields, Bryce Young, maybe add a first to go and get CJ Stroud. But I really, truly believe this is a guy that we're going to see some incredible performances from time and time again. The most impressive thing from him is not his accuracy, which we all knew coming out of college. It's his ability to layer throws and manipulate the ball in ways that I don't think I've ever seen from a quarterback. The way that he can, you know, get dip on the balls and kind of thread balls into pockets of space, that's just absolutely mind-blowing. And his ability to do that is like nothing I've ever seen of anyone else at this sort of level. So, yeah, genuinely impressive, genuinely incredible. I'm really excited about what's going to come. The next guy, back-to-back weeks in the risers, Will Levis. I said after week one, I was impressed, but it was unsustainable. Last week on Thursday night, I was more impressed, I think, than I was after the first week. Yes, he had the meltdown in the fourth quarter, but that's to happen. He's adding a little bit with his legs. You see four rush attempts per game. You know, that's encouraging for that fantasy production, but we know he's got the arm, but his ability to read and manipulate defenses is what impressed me on Thursday. And I think that he's now a quarterback that I'd be shocked if the Titans went back to Ryan Tannehill the rest of the season. And I'd be shocked if he's not the starting quarterback in 2024 and potentially 2025. That's worth serious value in Superflex leagues when you're getting that plug and play quarterback. So yeah, happy to pay a mid first round pick. I don't think you've quite got to pay it that yet. I talked about him 6-7 weeks ago as a sneaky buy because I think people were letting him go for a second because he hadn't seen the field. I think you can probably get him for a late first, maybe a couple of, you know, a late first and maybe a late second. But yeah, really excited. I'd certainly be happy taking him at sort of the 106, 107 in this year's draft class. The next riser, Keaton Mitchell. Phenomenal performance, over 100 yards and a touchdown, average 14.7 yards after contact, which is a mind-blowing number. Finished with over 20 points on the week. And I think the most exciting thing about Mitchell is he adds something different to this backfield. We know what Gus Edwards is. He's that bruiser. He's that short yardage. You know, he's going to get what's blocked and fall forward. I think Justice Hill is a little bit of an in-between. He's a little bit bigger than Mitchell. He's useful in the passing game, but I don't think he's ever going to be an every down back. And Mitchell's just fast. He adds that explosive element. I don't think he's ever going to be an every down back. I don't think he's got the body type to carry probably more than 10 to 15 touches on a week, which does limit that upside. But if you're looking for a, you know, potential high ceiling flex play, Mitchell could be the guy. I'd happily go and pay a, you know, a high third round pick. If you're talking seconds, if someone's willing to pay a second for him right now, I'd happily sell for that, just because I don't think that consistent, sustained production is going to be there. I think he is going to be a bit boom bust. So, yeah, maybe not a buy, maybe not a sell, but definitely a guy whose value is rising. The next guy, this is maybe a little bit under the radar, maybe a player that nobody's talking about yet, because quite frankly, the fantasy production is not there. Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver, 108 overall. As you can see, target share numbers less than 6%, averaging less than 4 points per game. But this Dallas offense is crying out for a third receiving option. We know CeeDee Lamb's a stud. We saw Jake Ferguson starting to take step forwards and produce really well on Sunday night. I think Jalen Tolbert's going to be the third guy. We've seen Michael Gallup and him start to split routes. We've seen Brandon Cooks maybe getting phased out of this offense. Jalen Tolbert's 43.9% and 43.4% route rate over the last 2 weeks. I think there is a world where Jalen Tolbert can carve out a fantasy relevant role. I don't think he's ever going to be a top 50 wide receiver, but as a guy that you could buy now for cheap, that might have a little bit more resale value in the offseason, or, you know, as we start to phase out Michael Gallup and Brandon Cooks down the stretch, Jalen Tolbert, he's got some explosiveness. There's definitely something there. And I think there could be a world where his value increases even more as we get towards the end of the season. And then the final riser, Dalton Kincaid. What a wild ride he's had over the last 3 months. Super hyped after the draft. First 3 weeks, couldn't get on the field over Dawson Knox, and his value plummeted and people were ready to cast him onto the scrap heap. But 34.4% target share this last week. He's getting it done. I think he's back in the top eight tight ends conversation for Dynasty, and easily a riser. I would happily pay a kind of a late first for him in this upcoming draft. And I think he's a really interesting player to go and acquire down the stretch, because I think this Bills offense, since the Dawson Knox injury, we have definitely seen a shift. More heavier personnel, Shakir on the field, Dalton Kincaid being used in those intriguing ways. And I think that target share is going to be here to stay, hopefully be north of 20% on a week-in, week-out basis. If you're here, if you like winning fantasy championships and like hearing good, useful, actionable advice, hit that subscribe button. We will have plenty more coming your way over the next few weeks. Now time to get negative. Let's talk about some fallers. Look, the first one, it feels like this is becoming a weekly segment where I talk about the next quarterback who's been injured and ruled out for the year. But Daniel Jones, is he torn ACL? Really worrying, because the timing of the injury, I think, is critical. He's probably not going to be healthy to start the year. The Giants, it sounds like Tyrod Taylor might also be done for the year. It looks like Tommy DeVito could be the quarterback. Well, I can't see a world where they're winning any games with Tommy DeVito under center. That means to me that they're probably going to end up with a reasonably high pick. You know, they're 2-7. They've got the fourth pick now. I think the Cardinals are probably going to win a couple of games with Kyler Murray back. I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina or Chicago pulled out a couple of wins. So are the Giants going to end up with a top one, top two pick? Probably. Does that mean that Daniel Jones stays as a starting quarterback in New York unnumbered? Definitely. Can he be a bridge quarterback? I don't think so, because he's going to be injured to start the season. So how can you have a bridge quarterback that's not going to be there? The Giants, the contract's mind-numbing. He'd have a $69 million dead cap hit if he's released. But are they going to want to pay him $45 million to sit and be a backup? Maybe not. Maybe it's a case of the Giants rip the Band-Aid off and move on from him. If he does get released by the Giants, I can't see him winning a starting job anywhere else. I think the only reason I thought he was going to be a starter long-term was basically because that contract incubated him to be that. But without that contract, I think he's probably a high-end backup, a bridge quarterback at best. So I wouldn't pay any second-round pick to go and acquire him. I think he's definitely lower valued than the likes of Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, who I think will be a starting quarterback next year. So, yeah, very concerned about Daniel Jones, and I'd probably sell for any second if I get it, maybe even, you know, a couple of thirds, maybe a really early third round pick. Just hard to be too excited about his dynasty value moving forward. The next guy, this one might be a bit hyperbolic, but Bijan Robinson, his value is falling. Running back 25 currently in points per game. He's had zero top 5 weeks. Look, the talent is there. He is absolutely flashed time and time again. The problem is that it's Arthur Smith and Tyler Algier, and Arthur Smith's crazy mind-blowing usage isn't going anywhere. And Tyler Algier is only a sophomore. Like, he's going to be around splitting this backfield for time to come. So unless Bijan Robinson's going to see a significant amount of usage as a wide receiver, you know, we're seeing 14.3% target share. I was hopeful that was going to be north of 20% coming into this year. So I'd still want two first-round picks to trade him away. He's still my RB2 in Dynasty, but his value has definitely declined from where it was at the beginning of the season. And it's hard to admit, but he's definitely not produced what we hoped he would be this year. The next faller tied into the Daniel Jones injury, Darren Waller on IR. I think this, I have read today, it's his sixth hamstring injury to the same hamstring, which feels like that's pretty critical at this point. Look, the Giants saved $7 million by releasing him at the end of the year. He's probably going to get a contract somewhere next year, but the guy can't stay healthy. I don't think you can place any sort of expectation that he's around. Maybe he's worth a flyer for the three or four games that he's going to be healthy, but I'd just rather try and take what I can and move on from him. If I can get any second round pick, I'd absolutely do that. If I can get a couple of thirds, I'd sell for that, quite frankly. I just can't place much expectation in a guy that's this long in the tooth in terms of his career and this long in the tooth in terms of volume of injuries. So yeah, he's a faller and a guy that I'm probably in that roster clogger territory that I don't really want any part of. The next faller, again, back-to-back weeks, Elijah Moore. I called him a roster clogger last week, and then they traded Donovan Peoples-Jones. Cedric Tillman comes in and sees more snaps than him immediately. Really concerned. That is alarming that Cedric Tillman, a guy that's not been active most of the season, is running similar numbers of routes, but more snaps. I think Elijah Moore is in that roster clogger range. As you can see on the screen, he's not had a single top 36 week so far this year. I need to move on from him. Any second round pick, I'd absolutely take that right now. And then the final faller, James Cook. I think this backfield is just horrendous. The Bills aren't using the backs at all. As you can see, 11.6 weighted opportunities per game. Was hoping that would be up near 20 at the beginning of the season. He's just kind of a volume-based RB2 plodder that's not getting it done. If you can get solid value, I feel like I'm repeating myself again, second-round pick, I'd happily take that. I just don't think this offense is ever going to run through the backfield. It's a big L for me. I love James Cook. I thought he was a value because I thought he was going to take over this backfield. But Latavius Murray, now Leonard Fournette, they're not going anywhere. And I just think there's not enough meat on the bone for James Cook to eat, quite frankly. So yeah, happy to shift him. His value is definitely falling as we move forward. Is there anyone I've talked about that you disagree with? Is there anyone you think I've missed? Let me know in the comments below. If you've not, hit that thumbs up, hit that subscribe button. We've got plenty more content over the coming days, including the preview show on Thursday, and of course, Tom's DFS content.